Hello and a warm welcome to this sweet spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. Strap yourselves in. We have got a busy show for you today. Looking back on three tournaments, looking ahead to four tournaments. Yes, that's right. Four tournaments to get through. Steve has selections for all four. Steve, what's the overriding feeling going into this week? Because it was so close, yet so far last week.
It was disappointing, Jack. Yeah, had David Rovetto won the STC Championship, then you know, we'd still be eating ice cream now. We'd have smiles on our faces. But he finished third. Tom McKibben made a late double bogey to fall out of the places in the STC Championship. And the other two tournaments were horrible. So, yeah, I've been licking my wounds this week rather than licking my cornettos.
I'm glad you're not looking at anything else. They're much like golfers. I think with punters, you get into somewhat of a flow state, don't you? Particularly with golf tournaments, when you've got multiple tournaments to follow. I've just struggled last week. You had the rain or the delays over in on the PGA Tour. The DP World Tour event wasn't televised. And then our LIV Golf has never quite got going. It just felt a little bit clunky for me.
Well, yeah, I think the PGA Tour have got to hold their heads in shame again, really, because they keep messing up, don't they? I mean, they should have brought the tee times forward for that final round of the Cognizant Classic. You know, thunderstorms were forecast. They sent them out in two balls at the normal times. And again, you get another messy Monday finish. And the SDC, yeah, I mean, that was a tough one to follow. I was fortunate. I had a friend with one of those sticks. I won't name him because I think these sticks are quite illegal, aren't they? But he had a stream on one of these sticks, and he was updating me on the progress of David Rovetto, who had a chance until just the closing few holes, and we had a lot of fun with David.
Well, let's start there, shall we? In the SDC Championship, it was won by Jordan Gumberg. It was the third first-time winner on the DP World Tour in as many events. So once again, much like the PGA Tour, it's incredibly difficult to find the winners on all the tours so far this season for golf punters. It was a good showing from just one Rovetto, so that gave us some place money. Robin Williams squandered a two-shot lead with just two to go, went to a playoff, Gumberg held the putt. Very clutch from him down the straight.
Yeah, he was about 400 to one. Yeah, very difficult to identify. World number 669 heading into last week. No real clues that this was going to happen. A 28-year-old American playing on a sponsor's invite. He'd won a few tournaments in Florida, a few minor tournaments in his home state. A couple of top fives on the Challenge Tour, but I think the only clue you have was that he lives in Coconut Creek, which must be such a relaxing place. Yeah, how chilled out must you be? I mean, he was very, very composed in that playoff. I was thinking, how chilled out must you be if you live in Coconut Creek, Jack? I mean, you know, knowing you've got a plentiful supply of coconuts to fall back on no matter what happens. So had I known he was living in Coconut Creek, I might have shown a bit of interest.
To any golfers live in Coconut Creek?
I don't think so.
Populated area.
I haven't identified any. No, it's quite a small city. It's a city called Coconut Creek. I've looked into it. He plays out in Florida. In Florida, yeah, lovely little place in Florida. And the golf club he plays out of is Adios Golf Club in Coconut Creek. So I think he's got a great life anyway. But now, yeah, Jordan Gumberg now has got DP World Tour card for a couple of years.
I mean, 400-1 win. I know we found Darius Vandril the week before. He wasn't quite as big at that as that, but still a big price. How are you approaching these tournaments? Are you just hoping that it turns a little bit, or are you expecting more big prices in the coming weeks?
Yeah, the worm will turn. I mean, yeah, we had a 90-1 shot finish third, beaten by a 400-1 shot and a 150-1 shot. So we can crack a big price winner. I'm feeling really good, Jackie. I mean, last week was disappointing overall. But I'm feeling really excited about this week. Yeah, you can't contain me this week, actually, Jack. My wife's been trying to contain me in the last 24 hours because I came in last night. I came in about 11 p.m. last night. I did a sort of 16-hour shift on these four tournaments yesterday.
Oh, working till 11?
I worked till 11.
I started at a snooker club or something. Right.
No, I started about 7 in the morning, finished about 11 p.m. The wife's expecting me to come in a sort of broken man from that long day in the shed. I was coming in absolutely buzzing. I said, "Oh, darling, that's my last Monday shift done. We're going to have four winners this week, and that'll be that. I can concentrate on my exercise regime and mental health." So, I'm feeling.
Do you break for lunch? Do you get it brought to you, or do you literally just stay in the shed?
No, I get it brought to me, actually. Yeah. So my wife does a sterling job of supplying lunch for me. Yeah. It's a long shift, but as I say, I'm absolutely buzzing about the week ahead. I feel like I've absolutely sussed it out. I know, gamble responsibly, don't get carried away. But I'm finding it hard not to get carried away because I think I'm going to have all four winners this week, and I think this might be our last sweet spot together.
Oh, it would be a crying shame if it is. I mean, we could maybe catch up on our respective islands somewhere in the Caribbean via, I don't know, letter or something. Well, just contain yourself for a little bit longer, Steve, because we've got a couple more tournaments to look back on first. We shall go to LIV Golf next, because, of course, the Cognizant was delayed. So that was a Monday finish. We'll start with LIV. It was won by Joachim Niemann. Are we looking at the best player in the world right now here in Joachim Niemann?
I think it's a fair question to ask. We're certainly looking at the most informed player on the planet for me. Form figures from his last seven tournaments are 5-1, 4-1, 33-3-1. He won the Australian Open. Then he won LIV Mayakoba. Then he's won LIV Jeddah on Sunday. The Augusta Bigwigs gave him a Masters invite after his Mayakoba win. Obvious green jacket threat now. World ranking of 76, obviously hugely misleading, isn't he? He's one of the best players in the world. He's ranked 76. There's issues with the world rankings for obvious reasons. And his Masters form figures for punters who like looking ahead. I mean, I'm just focused on the quadruple header, but loads of punters like getting their Masters bets in early and feasting on the anti-post value. His Masters form figures are miscut 40, 35, 16. So progressive. And you'd have to expect that trend to continue this year. Yeah, you know, former world number one amateur Jack, always destined for greatness. And yeah, you know, he's threatening to realise his potential despite that handicap of being a LIV player. You know, being a LIV player is a handicap to realising all your childhood dreams. Unless your childhood dream was just to become rich. In terms of, you know, qualifying for majors is difficult. But Niemann's in the first one. And as you say, yeah, he's a big runner.
I think I saw our good friend Bruce Millington tweet over the weekend that the LIV Tour is sort of winning the battle at the moment because there's been some obscure winners on the PGA Tour. I mean, if you love LIV or hate LIV, you certainly can't ignore it at the moment.
No. I mean, last week it was the best quality tournament by a significant margin, and the PGA Tour just keep getting terrible weather and not. You're not doing anything about it. You know, yeah, we like Sunday finishes. I mean, no one likes a Monday finish. It was quite literally a damp squib, the old Cognizant Classic.
Just a quick word on another player in LIV, Steve, and that's John Rahm. It was a slightly better week from him last week. I know you've been slightly dismissive of him recently. Did that perk you up slightly for Rahm's hopes on LIV?
Well, it's a flopping favourite again, wasn't he? A flopping short price favourite. Another week contending strongly before a lame finish. All three of his starts in LIV. Been the same. He's got himself right in there, and then he's had a meek surrender. He bogeyed the 10th on Sunday, bogeyed the 12th, dropped from right in the thick of things to out of it. Finished 5th. Anyone who backed him each way, you know, scraped their money back, I suppose. But I've been disappointed with the way Rahm's. Yeah, he hasn't seemed to settle on the LIV circuit, and he's got another course debut this week. We'll come on to him. The big names, apart from Joachim Niemann, the big names were disappointing last week. Obviously, we backed two very lackluster Americans. Brooks Koepka, slow out the gates, playing catch up, played well over the final two rounds, but it was too late. Dustin Johnson had so many lip outs in round one. It was a horror story on the greens in round one. And then he imploded in round two. He had a triple bogey at the 17th in round two. He lost his head. So, yeah, I was really disappointed in my Americans. And then, yeah, are you going to move on to the Cognizant Classic without mentioning anyone else in the LIV Jeddah? I mean, it speaks volumes about what happened.
I wasn't going to. I was going to say that LIV heads to Hong Kong for the first time this week, so we can get onto that later, shall we?
Well, I think it speaks volumes, Jack, that the big fanfare that Anthony Kim arrived onto the scene with.
Oh, of course.
I think it speaks volumes that you didn't even register that you wanted to talk about him. And yeah, rightly so, because he doesn't want you to talk about him. But Anthony Kim, I'm going to talk about him because Anthony Kim finished last. He finished last, 16 over par. That was 11 shots worse than anyone else. It's just not possible to do what he's attempting to do, is it? You know, returning from 12 years in the golfing wilderness. You know, he looked like he was already missing that wilderness when, you know, in that final round. It was ugly scenes, a couple of shanks here and there. You know, old father time, you know, is merciless.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? As well, you know, there was huge excitement around Anthony Kim. I was messaging you last week going, what price is he? And I think I saw as well his club head speed, considering the advancement in tech over the last 15 years, it's dropped significantly since he was last playing as well. So his body's not quite the same. I don't know about you, Steve. I took no enjoyment from watching him hack it about.
Me neither. No, the swing's jerky, isn't it? It's similar to me now. My body has worsened in the last 12 years significantly as well. And I can't really move. I can't really swing a golf club. Yeah, maybe you'll get better, but maybe you won't. And it could be a horrible flop.
Other than that, all good for Anthony Kim.
Sorry, I love that word. I don't know what to say then. I just went back to one of my old favourite words. Can't go wrong with flop, can you?
No, you can't. And it was a bit of a flop of a finish in the Cognizant as well. It was the Monday finish. It was won by Austin Eckroat. Good chance for Shane Lowry to maybe get back on the winner's board. It was a disappointing final round from him. What's the headline here?
Yeah, I mean, Lowry be fuming with himself when another Honda Classic goes begging. Oh, sorry, Cognizant Classic now. He's had three great chances of winning at PGA National. He made three bogeys and a double bogey in round four. Big disappointment for Shane. Austin Eckroat, decent player. Yeah, another big price winner on the PGA Tour, 125-1. I think he's a decent player. I don't think he's a world beater. He's a 25-year-old Oklahoman. You know, made a name for himself in the Byron Nelson last year. You might remember that one. Finished runner-up. His whole family were involved. The Eckroat family, very supportive of Austin. Then he was 10th in the US Open. He hadn't done much since. You obviously want to keep an eye on. But I think the player to take from the race is Minwoo Lee. I mean, Minwoo Lee, you know, what a brilliant golfer. Second place from the wrong side of the draw. There was a draw bias last week. We sounded a bit of a draw bias klaxon on this podcast last week. I mean, it did materialise. The late early wave last week had to play 36 holes in the wind. But for Minwoo Lee, it didn't matter because he's so good in the wind. You know, the world is Minwoo's oyster. It's up to him what he does with that oyster.
Just a quick moment to laugh at ourselves, Steve, because I think it's healthy every now and again. I backed Eric Cole, first round leader, dead last.
Yeah, I think it's worth laughing at ourselves. Yeah. No, I mean, I'll tell you an interesting thing. You've already mentioned Bruce on this podcast. Yeah, Bruce used to get really angry with me whenever I talk about momentum in sport. Then he says it only happens in, was he Formula One's the only one?
Well, he said it doesn't exist. Yeah.
He said it doesn't exist. But I do think a round of golf, momentum is a thing. If Bruce was on here, he'd be ripping my head off now. I'm relieved he's not, because I think in a round of golf, momentum is crucial, actually, because over those early holes, Eric Cole played really well. He set up three great birdie chances on the first three holes, missed those three putts. You know, a frustrating start for him. Then he went pin hunting at the first par three because he was level par, feeling like he's getting left behind. And then he was just an inch short when he found that the greenside water trap at the first par three and made a triple bogey, and suddenly he's three over par. So if one or two of those early birdie putts go in and he gets under par early, I feel like the momentum would have been with him. But it was classic that when he was three over par, you could see him like, blimmin' heck, this is my big chance, and it's slipping away, and then he's just pushing, water everywhere, disaster. But yeah, no, I'm glad you're laughing, Jack. I wasn't laughing. I will now.
Let's get on to this week's tournament.
I'll do a Frank Bruno laugh for you. No, I can't. I haven't really nailed
Do that, Steve, because you remember when you tried, I think you did a laugh 1 week and then your vocal cords just gave up on
you. Yeah, that's right. It can go wrong. It can destroy the equipment as well if you get I used to have a good Frank Bruno laugh in me. I'll work on that after the show. Come back next week. I'll deliver that for you.
Okay, it's not like you've got four tournaments to publish straight after this either.
No, that's it. No, it's a busy day. No. Excitement levels are so high. Yeah, you know, the each way quadruple is your moment, isn't it?
Well, let's get into it. Shall we start with the Johnson Workwear?
Yes, chronological order. It's quite tough this week, but you've got the first test there.
Okay, well, a quarter of the way there. We shall kick on. The Johnson Workwear Open, it's at Glendower Golf Club. Steve, talk us through the track.
Yes, that's in Edenvale, South Africa, 7,542 yards. But remember, we're 1,500 metres above sea level this week. Balls flying further in the rarefied air. Par 72, four par fives. It staged lots of South African Opens. The most recent one, January 2018. There have been numerous other Sunshine Tour events at Glendower. Most recently, the 2020 Sunshine Tour Championship and the 2023 Fortress Invitational. Classic, tight, tree-lined Parkton layout. The first day looks like it's going to be quite breezy, relatively calm from Friday onwards. But accuracy is the name of the game. A field of 156 going to post.
Okay, looking forward to it. Let's run through the top of the market. And a familiar top of the market for those that have been following the DP World Tour in the last couple of weeks. Thurston Lawrence, your 16-1 favourite. Xander Lombard, 20-1. Tom McKibben, 20-1. Alongside Ewan Ferguson, Jordan Smith, 25-1. Rikuya Hoshino, 28. Bigger the rest. Steve Palmer, excitement bubbling over. How many picks for the Johnson Workwear?
Two.
Okay, two selections. Who's the main one?
Ewan Ferguson, 20-1, keeping the faith. We are backing Ewan Ferguson for a third consecutive week. I was enjoying his first round last week, Jack, in the SDC Championship. He carded 13 pars and a birdie in his first 14 holes. One under, steady start, laying a nice foundation for the week. Then he carded an eight at his 15th hole. Absolute gut buster. I've no idea how that snowman happened because there was no TV coverage, but it was an uphill battle for Ferguson from there. He didn't play great in round two, but excellent over the weekend, Jack. The eighth best player in the field for greens in regulation on Saturday. The third best player in the field for greens in regulation on Sunday. A bogey-free 68 on Sunday meant 20th place. It was a fine recovery over the weekend. Only two players outscored him in the final round. Another healthy check banked. This week heads to another suitable course. Glendower demands accuracy from tee to green. Ferguson, well-equipped to deliver it. He doesn't have any course experience, but that is the case for most of the best players in this week's lineup. Tom McKibben is a debutant. So is Darius van Driel. So is Jesper Svensson. So is David Ravetto. I considered all four of them, but Ferguson is the one I trust most of all. DP World Tour form figures of 23-9-7-20. He's got a great record in South Africa at all levels. He's got the control to handle the altitude this week. I think a third DP World Tour title is coming for the 27-year-old Glaswegian on Sunday.
Are you saying that the triple bogey eight wasn't even on the dodgy stick you acquired?
No, the dodgy stick didn't come into play till Sunday. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't ask my friend to watch the whole tournament and update me, but he was happy to do it on Sunday. I'm not sure what else he wanted to do, but no, he was happy to provide that service. And it's very difficult when you put people in those situations in it because they don't want to give you bad news. You know, it's just like, it just goes quiet and it's just like, what's happening now then? Is there, oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, mate. Don't know he's going to do it.
You do look at this field though, Stephen, and as we have done over the last couple of weeks on this tour, and Ewan Ferguson does kind of stick out a little bit as a bit of a cut above, doesn't he?
He's a great golfer. He's a sweet swinger. If he holds a few putts, he's a potential world beater. I'm excited about Ewan Ferguson this week. I think, maybe punters are getting tired about Ewan Ferguson because he hasn't done it for us. But yeah, if you keep the faith, there's not a good reason for not backing Ewan Ferguson this week. Does that make sense? Double negative. There's not a good reason
works,
for not
I get you. Yeah.
There's not a good reason for not backing Ewan Ferguson the week, other than you might just think, I need a change, but it doesn't work like that. Keep the faith.
Ewan Ferguson, the main pick for the Johnson Workwear. One to go. Who's next?
Well, we're having a change in this one because we haven't backed this fella for a long while. Our second tip in Glendower is Adrian Sadier.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Adrian now, so I hadn't seen his name on the list.
Adrian Sadier, 80-1. As I say, not many lively candidates for success this week have competed at Glendower before. But Adrian Sadier very much has, and he loved the assignment. He made his Glendower debut in the South African Open in 2018, carded rounds of 68 and 63 to share the halfway lead. Eventually finished the tournament in seventh place. This is his second appearance at Glendower. He's won on the Challenge Tour. I've always thought he was good enough to win on the DP World Tour. He's 31 now. Maybe the time has come. He's got some other form in Africa. He was runner-up in the 2017 Kenya Open, sixth in the 2013 Nelson Mandela Championship, seventh in the 2022 Dimension Data Pro-Am. He's got more than a decade of experience competing in South Africa. He can handle the Kikuyu grass. He can handle the altitude. He's had a really encouraging fortnight, Jack. He finished 23rd in the Kenya Open, closed with a 67. Then he was 31st last week in the SDC Championship, closed with a 69. Only nine players outscored him on Sunday. He made six birdies. He was third for greens in regulation on Saturday, eighth for greens in regulation in round four. So like Ferguson, Sadier hitting it great over the weekend. I think they're both taking their A game to Glendower.
Okay, that seems like, yeah, a good pair to go to battle with. Just looking at the favourite for this event, Steve, you know how you get some people who, I don't know, you know, listen to the Arctic Monkeys or something before anyone else? Do you get a similar feeling with Thriston Lawrence, that you kind of found him before he was cool and favourites for tournaments?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we've had a love-hate relationship with Thriston, haven't we? Because we loved him when he won the Joburg
Open. They're
the
best kind of ones, I think.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Is that you and your lady friend, Jack? Is it tumultuous?
She doesn't watch.
No, I still love Thriston Lawrence. I always love Thriston Lawrence, but obviously he let us down a little bit at the end of last year, didn't he, with the capitulation in the Joburg Open. But it's a short price favourite for me, Thriston. I can live without
Kibben, any fancies there? Because he sort of lured us in last week, didn't he?
Yeah, such disappointing finishes to his round on Saturday and Sunday. Obvious contender, but I just think Ferguson's the more solid option.
Okay, that's the Johnson Workwear Open. That's a mouthful when you say it quickly. We'll recap all of the selections at the end of the show, so don't worry if you've not jotted them down just yet. We shall head next, Steve. I'm trying to get second right in the chronological order. Puerto Rico Open.
Well done. Yes, it starts just before the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So chronological order, fans, go with this.
Okay, so halfway there. I'm passing the Steve Palmer test at the moment. We are at Grand Reserve Golf Club, Country Club. Talk us through the layout.
Yes, it's in Rio Grande, Puerto Rico, 7,506 yards, par 72, four par fives. Puerto Rico Open host since 2008. Flat track, paspalum grass, can be overwhelmed by long drivers. We've got sunny, warm weather all week, light to moderate breezes, a field of 132 going to post.
Okay, let's take a look through the top of the market. Rasmus Højgaard, your 18-1 favourite. Next up, Aaron Rye, Daniel Berger, and Christopher Gotterup, 22-1. Rio Hisatsuna, 25-1. Ben Griffin, 28-1. Bigger the rest. Coming tested with the pronunciations this week, Steve.
Yeah, that player that you were tested on is the one I'm most interested in. I think 28-1 is available as we live and breathe. So, we'll come on to that.
Well, sorry. How many selections? And we will get onto it.
One.
Don't know why you really are interested.
Very interested.
To be fair, you said the one that I was struggling with the pronunciation of. I think I struggled with all three of them. So even I'm guessing here. Who is the sole selection of this tournament?
Chris Gotterup, 28-1. My word, that is an exciting bet. Eight of the last 10 editions of the Puerto Rico Open have been won by a PGA Tour maiden. I think we're going to get another one on Sunday. In decent weather, as I mentioned, this course suits long attacking players. There are a load of birdies out there. Gotterup emphatically fits the bill. He's the second longest driver on the PGA Tour. Cameron Champ edges him slightly at the moment. That big dog ability is a huge asset this week. But the quality of Gotterup's approach play in the Cognizant Classic last week makes him the complete package for this Puerto Rico Open. Gotterup gained 7 strokes on the field in the Cognizant Classic on approach last week from the wrong side of the draw. He was in with Min Woo Lee on the wrong side of the draw. 7 strokes he gained on approach. He didn't convert enough of those chances. He had a cold putter. He tied for 35th place in the tournament, but he closed with a 67, carded 6 birdies in round 4, headed to Puerto Rico, full of confidence. He's teed up in this event only once before. When making his PGA Tour debut, he was ranked 1,685th in the world, and he finished 7th. He's graduated from the Korn Ferry Tour now. Last month, he WD'd in the Mexico Open. Don't worry about that. He carded a solid first round 69, then he got ill. It was illness, not injury, not a problem. And feast on this bit of icing, Jack. Got a bit of icing to put on this Gotterup cake. I don't think I can do a sound which does justice to how thick this layer of icing is. You know, this is, this could be used for the base, actually.
You need a big piping bag for this one.
Yeah, you do need a big piping bag. Good knowledge. Good icing knowledge. The reason he got into the 2022 Puerto Rico Open is because he won the Puerto Rico Classic that year, a college event, at Grand Reserva, carding rounds of 66, 64, and 66, a 20 under par, 54 hole total, a four shot triumph. He loves this course. I love Chris Gotterup. I love this opportunity. He's the only man you need for Puerto Rico.
Going to battle with just one is always a punchy tactic. So it shows that you love this man. I mean, that is icing that I think all of us could devour with great enjoyment, Steve.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, I've only got 9 tips across the 4 tournaments this week. I don't want to put too much pressure on. You know, it's all very well getting excited about the quadruple header, but, you know, with excitement comes responsibility. And what the heck does that mean? So I don't want to say to punters, look, there's 10 in this one, 6 in this one, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm recommending 9 bets this week. All right. And Puerto Rico Open, there will be no TV coverage of this one either, which obviously deflates a lot of people, I think you included. But you'll be able to follow it on the shot tracker. So, we got 2 in the Johnson Workwear, 1 in Puerto Rico, and then we've got another 6 to come.
Okay. Really looking forward to that that tournament, Steve. Now you've excited me for. I must say, when I was looking through the list of tournaments this week, I thought, "Oh, Steve's going to have to do some work to get me up for that one." Well, you have. Well done. Arnold Palmer next.
Yes,
done it. Okay, Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. It needs no introduction, but we're going to do it anyway.
Well, yes, they actually call this course now the Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill Club and Lodge. So they put his name actually on the name of this course now. I love that. Orlando, Florida, 7,466 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s. Bay Hill has hosted a PGA Tour event every year since 1979. My uncle Arnie was always tinkering with his track. These days, it's a serious test. Water in play on several holes, lots of dog legs, lots of runoff areas around the greens. It's about grinding pars at Bay Hill. And it looks like we're going to get a windy weekend, Jack. So, yeah, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a tough week for these players. 6 of the last 7 winners ranked inside the top 10 for greens in regulation. I think that's the key stat again this week. Elevated designated signature event, 20 million in the pot, 3.6 million to the winner. A field of 69 going to post, and we've got the that token cut rule in place again. The top 50 plus ties, and anyone within 10 shots of the lead will qualify for round 3.
Okay, and we have a brilliant field. I shall take you through the top of it now. Scotty Scheffler, your 13-2 favourite. Rory McIlroy, 9-1. Victor Hovland, 14. Jean Deschauffele, 16-1 alongside Patrick Cantlay. Ludwig Åberg, 20-1 alongside Jordan Spieth. Bigger the rest. Steve, star-studded lineup. Who are the selections here?
We've got 2 selections for the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and the number one is Ludwig Åberg, 20-1. The time has come. We've not backed Ludwig this year. We gave him time to settle with his new caddy. We let him get his first taste of Hawaii. We suspected the greens on the West Coast might be troubling for him. Now is the time to strike. Despite having some nightmares on the Poana on the West Coast swing, Åberg still managed to finish 9th in the Farmers Insurance Open, then runner-up in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I think he would have won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am had the weather gods allowed the final round to be played. He was one shot behind Wyndham Clark with 18 holes to go. Then the tournament was abandoned. Åberg, swinging like God in California. He may well be God for all I know, Jack. My children go to a Church of England school. They come and ask me lots of questions about God. And I just direct them towards a giant Swede. Yeah, he's the closest thing I've seen to God. He was 19th on his Genesis Invitational debut last time out. A solid effort on new terrain, closed with a 68. This week, he tees up, finally, at a track he already knows. He's been making all these course debuts. Now he comes to Bay Hill. He was still an amateur when he played in the Arnold Palmer Invitational 12 months ago. He was ranked 1,983rd in the world, yet he finished 24th. This week, tees up as world number 11, fresh from a fortnight off. His ball striking class made for a difficult Bay Hill. A second PGA Tour titleist coming for God on Sunday.
I must say, Steve, I've been incredibly impressed by your discipline when it comes to backing Ludvig, because I know how much you love him and he's been so impressive. Very much burst onto the scene like Michael Richards.
Well, that's it. We haven't backed him since we last backed him for the RSM Classic. I mean, we had a little tickle in the Grant Thornton, if I remember right, the pairs event. But we haven't backed him in an individual event since we had him for the RSM. You've got to time these stripes well. And I'm really excited by 20-1. So pleased he didn't bother with the Seminole Pro-Am yesterday. I don't know if you were following that one. Seminole is one of the most exclusive clubs in America. And they have this star-studded Pro-Am at this time of the year. And Aubert so focused on the Arnold Palmer Invitational, he didn't play in that Seminole. Yeah, he's all classes, Ludvig. You know, he makes some good decisions. He turned his back on Live Golf. He knows the path he wants to go on, and he's making the right decisions. He's settled in nicely with his caddy now, and he Joe Skovran. Yeah, I mean, Joe Skovran made the controversial decision to axe Tom Kim. He said to Tom Kim, "I'm sorry, Tom. You're a bright prospect, but I'm going to potential world number one here." Joe Skovran's faith will be rewarded this week, I feel.
We love Ludvig here on the Sweet Spot, so thoroughly looking forward to that. We've got Ludvig for the Arnold Palmer. We've got one more to come, and who's that?
Yes, next best, Tommy Fleetwood, 28-1. I think the biggest threat to Ludvig Aubert will come from his Ryder Cup colleague. Three of the last six Bay Hill events have been won by a European. I think we're going to get another one this week. Yeah, it's a difficult tee to green assignment. Lots of wind around, as I mentioned. Yeah, that's perfect for Tommy Fleetwood. He almost won his first PGA Tour title in this state. We were on him for the 2020 Honda Classic. He finished third. He found water at the final hole. He also finished third in this event, the 2019 Arnold Palmer Invitational. He was fifth in the 2019 Players' Championship. You know, you put Tommy Fleetwood on a tough Florida track, he's got every chance of contending for you. He was fourth in the 2018 Honda. He was seventh in the 2018 Players' Championship. He was third in the Valspar Championship last year. Yeah, this maiden PGA Tour title has been a long time coming. I think Bay Hill is the ideal location for it. He won his first event of this season, the Dubai Invitational. A real morale booster at the start of the year. Defeated Rory McIlroy in a duel, if you remember rightly. He was 10th last time out in the Genesis Invitational. So, yeah, I think Tommy Fleetwood's got loads going for him. Two-pronged European attack.
I don't know if it's just been a long 2024, Steve, but that Dubai Invitational feels like it was about 4 years ago.
Yeah, I'll make you right there. It may well have been. Yeah, it does seem a long time ago, doesn't it? But it was a nice little starter for Tommy. He hasn't really played badly all year. We all know he's good enough to win on the PGA Tour. This is such an exciting week. I just can't be contained. Can't be contained.
The names of Scheffler and McIlroy and Hovland, Schauffele, none of them take your fancy?
Well, Scotty Scheffler, my word. I mean, he's the right favourite, isn't he? 13-2. Can we back him at 13-2? I mean, his tee to green class counts for so much round here. He won it for us in 2022. But he's losing his mind in the Genesis, wasn't he, last time out? He was literally losing his mind. I mean, his putting nightmares are scary now, because did you see him launch a ball into some trees? He three-putted a par five, didn't he? And then he was so frustrated, he launched his ball into some trees. And it's a difficult situation for Scheffler now, because he's got... Everyone's talking about it. Even his peers are talking about it. Did you hear Rory McIlroy said that he should switch to a mallet putter? Because Rory McIlroy was talking about how he's had putting problems through his career, and he switched to a mallet putter because mallet putter more forgiving than the blade, and he said Scotty should consider that. And yeah, Scheffler must hate it when they start. You know, he's got his peers talking about his issues, is he too proud to switch to the mallet? I can't see it happening this week. I haven't seen any footage of him this week. I'd be very surprised if he just goes, "Oh, okay, Rory, I'll do what you said." It's like Michael Van Gerwen listening to sort of Gerwen Price, isn't it, in the darts world, and saying, "Oh, I think you should use these darts." So I don't know, but you know, Scheffler's got issues with his putting. I can't back him at 13-2 after that Riviera putting performance. It was abysmal. And as I say, I think between the ears now, there's a lot going on.
Okay, yeah. I always think if it, when players, you know, get to that level, and particularly, you know, Scheffler, who is one of the elite, it's got to be up here, hasn't it, when it comes to putting? Like,
yeah,
you can change putters all you like, it's not going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe the mallet is the answer, but I can't see Scheffler making that switch now. Rory has suggested it. Yeah, tee to green wise, Scheffler's the best. We all know that. He is the most tempting. If I was having three, I probably would back Scotty Scheffler maybe as a stake saver, because if he putts well, he's gonna be banging there. But I'm very happy with my two pronged attack in this. 9 tips, 4 tournaments. Let's have it.
Well, if you're happy, Steve, then so am I. We are on to the last of the tournaments. It's LIV Golf. It visits Hong Kong for the first time. It's at Hong Kong Golf Club. Talk us through the track.
Yes, Fanling, Hong Kong, 6,710 yards, par 70, only 2 par 5s, the inaugural LIV Hong Kong. But this venue has been used loads of times for DP World Tour events. The Hong Kong Open was a DP World Tour event from 2002 through 2018. Then it was an Asian Tour event in 2020 and 2023. Classic design, tight, fiddly, accuracy essential. The honours board tells you all you need to know, full of accurate drivers. Miguel Angel, him in the air, was a 4-time champion here. I won't bore you with the honours board, but virtually all of them, accurate plodders. We've got plenty of wind in the forecast to make it even more tricky. It'll be windy at Bay Hill over the weekend. It'll be equally windy in Hong Kong. Fascinating weekend ahead. A field of 54 going to post, no cut, 54 holes of stroke play. Starts at 4:15 a.m. on Friday, live on DAZN and the LIV Golf Plus app.
Are you going to be up and at them for 4:15 on Friday?
I'm basically a sleep-free human. You know, I just don't sleep. My kids, my daughters are always waking me up at ungodly hours. I went to bed at about 1 a.m. last night and then was woken about. I've only had about
you
three
never
or
seem
four.
Tired, though, or are you just good at sort of acting like you're not?
Adrenaline. It's adrenaline, Jack. Yeah. I'm so excited by the quadruple header. I stayed up watching a bit of.
There are certain people, and I'd definitely put you in one of the, you know, as one of these, who could have like 4 hours sleep and are just absolutely buzzing still. I honestly, if I get less than 8, I am screwed.
Oh, yeah. Well, Margaret Thatcher was the famous one, wasn't it? Margaret Thatcher always used to have 4 hours sleep a night. I know she's a very polarizing character, but a lot
not
of people,
because of her sleep patterns.
A lot of people think the greengrocer's daughter was the greatest prime minister you've ever had. A lot of people despise her, but you should never talk ill of the dead. So I am. What the heck am I talking about now?
I don't know. Anyway, you're buzzing. You've not had much sleep. We've got a familiar favourite here as well. It's John Rahm. He's 5-1 for LIV Golf Hong Kong. Joachim Niemann, last week's winner, 7-1. Tyrrell Hatton, 12s, alongside DeChambeau, Taylor Gooch, Dustin Johnson, 14s. We know the names at the top of the leaderboard here, Steve. How many picks?
Four.
LIV Golf. Who's the first?
Might have destroyed the equipment, so I'll just let the equipment settle back. Sometimes does it in if you do that sort of caper. Number one selection for LIV Golf Hong Kong, Ithurdio Garcia, 22-1. Ithurdio Garcia, who is made for the Hong Kong Golf Club assignment. It probably reminds him a bit of his beloved Valderrama. You just have to hit it straight round here. You have to hit it straight at Valderrama. You'll be in the trees with no shot. Garcia's career has been built on crisp ball striking, precise driving, controlled approaches. He made his Hong Kong Open debut in 2017, finished 19th, returned in 2018, finished 6th. I think those progressive form figures are going to be improved on his third visit to this track. Garcia was a playoff loser to Joachim Niemann in LIV Mayakoba at the start of the season, mid-division in Vegas, 15th last week in Jeddah, closed with a 65. Only 3 players outscored Garcia in Jeddah on Sunday. I think he could be the man to beat in Hong Kong. He used to make a habit of picking up titles in Asia. The 2002 Korea Open, the 2009 HSBC Champions in China, the 2012 Johor Open, the 2013 Thailand Golf Championship, the 2015 Ho Tram Open. the 2018 Singapore Open. He loves a trip to Asia, does Gathier. I think an overdue first LIV Golf title is coming on Sunday.
I do sometimes forget that Sergio is playing on LIV. I really shouldn't, but when you said his name, I thought, oh yeah, he's still going quite well.
Well, he's one of the big signings early on, isn't he? And then obviously some other big names come on. But yeah, he's still got loads of ability.
How old is Sergio now?
44, I believe. Yeah, 44.
Yeah, I thought he was older than that.
1 year younger than me, so I'm hoping he's still got lots in the tank.
I don't know why I laughed there. It's a very true statement, Steve.
don't laugh at my empty tank, Jack. That's just cruel.
As we know, it's far from empty, Steve. Sergio Garcia, number one pick for Hong Kong LIV Golf this week. 3 to go. Who's next?
Cameron Smith is our next best at 20-1, who doesn't get on with the greens of Jeddah. Says he can't read the Jeddah greens. I think he was beaten before he started last week. He was talking so negatively about the greens, and he was moaning to the on-course reporter during round one about all his early holes playing into the wind. He was joking to the reporter. He said to the reporter, if the next hole's playing into the wind, I'm off and I'll see you in Hong Kong. He said, I'll see you in Hong Kong. Hong Kong was already on his mind last week in round one of Jeddah. So, yeah, I would ignore that lackluster effort in Jeddah on a course he doesn't like. Back him at a juicy price for a course he loves this week. He's a massive fan of Hong Kong Golf Club. A decade ago, he was an Asian Tour player. He was making his Hong Kong Open debut. He was ranked 304th in the world rankings. He was under pressure because he knew a decent week in Hong Kong would get him into the PGA Tour event that was coming up, the CIMB Classic. He didn't have his best stuff in Hong Kong, battled well, finished 9th in Hong Kong. That earned him a PGA Tour debut in the CIMB Classic. Then he finished 5th in that, went on to become a PGA Tour star. So Hong Kong has got a special place in the heart of Smith, and he loved it on his second appearance there last year. He returned last year, the 2023 Hong Kong Open, an Asian Tour event, used it as a warm-up before his events down under, just before Christmas. And he finished runner-up, lost by a shot. This week's windy forecast, very exciting for Cameron Smith. I can see a fourth LIV title for a player who's a proven performer in Asia.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? After that sort of open win, just the most exciting player in the world. And it hasn't quite happened for him since then, because I remember when he first joined LIV, he was going off at what, a third of the price that he is this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exciting player.
Yeah, he was the best player in the world when he won the Open Championship. St. Andrews, you know, and then it all got quite nasty, didn't he? That's when the LIV situation was, you know, he had the claret jug next to him. He just won the Open Championship. And then, you know, these brave reporters were firing in about asking him about the LIV rumours, and it all got quite nasty. But here we are now. And, Cameron Smith is, he's a prolific winner on LIV. You know, Garcia's going for his first title. Smith's going for his fourth LIV title, 20-1. As you say, when he first came on the scene, yeah, we were taking a quarter of that, weren't we?
Cam Smith joins Sergio Garcia for Steve here. Two more to go. Who's up next?
Anirban Lahiri, 40-1, the pride of India. Happy on the grainy greens, we'll see this week. His two European Tour wins came in Asia. He was 6th in Jeddah last time out. Like Garcia, he closed with a 65. And Lahiri's 65 was under more pressure. It was important because it meant that his crushers team won the team competition. So it was a lucrative week for Lahiri and his pals in Jeddah. He's headed to Hong Kong in high spirits. He's got loads of experience of Hong Kong Golf Club. Finished 7th in 2015 on his last visit. I think he'll make a big impact this week. Don't forget, Lahiri, runner-up in the 2022 Players' Championship at Sawgrass. Yeah, he's certainly no mug.
I was trying not to forget that, so thanks for reminding me.
Don't you dare call Anirban Lahiri a mug, because he's not a mug.
Okay, 3 down, 1 to go, Steve. Who's the final pick here?
The biggest price of the week. It's Graham McDowell. 150 Graham McDowell, 150-1. Another 44-year-old. He's the same age as Sergio Garcia. I think they've still got plenty to offer. And McDowell's been revived by a switch to Team Smash. He's great mates with Brooks Koepka. Koepka was delighted to get rid of Matt Wolf. Koepka hates Matt Wolf. He got rid of Matt Wolf, and then he signed McDowell as the replacement for Team Smash. Koepka and McDowell, they own a racehorse together now that you mentioned the other day.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
They're getting
Gimme
excited.
Gimme Five, is it?
Gimme Five, that sounds right, yeah. Yeah, they're banging to their racing now. They're great mates, and they're loving playing for Team Smash together. McDowell has rewarded Koepka's faith already by playing well for his new team. Smash won the team event in Las Vegas, and McDowell's final round 65 was the key to that. He finished fifth in the individual event in Vegas. He carded a tidy 66 in Jeddah on Sunday. On short tracks like this one, yes, this is really short in modern terms, 6,700 yards. It demands accuracy. McDowell will be licking his lips at this one. He won a European Tour event in Korea in 2008, and his record at the Hong Kong Golf Club is understandably solid. It really suits him. He was sixth on debut in 2007, and his full form figures at this track, 6, 11, 18, 5, 24. That was on the DP World Tour. And then in the Asian Tour event that Smith finished runner-up in just before Christmas, McDowell finished 12th. So, I think McDowell can still lift silverware on courses like this. He's the third major champion in my team of four for this event.
Well, I didn't expect to hear G-Mac's name this week, so we'll end it there. That was a pleasing way to end proceedings, Steve. Well, that was a mammoth episode, wasn't it? Four tournaments. I mean, I'm exhausted. Your tack is still very much still going. How do you now go into this week? Because you've expended so much energy on previewing and writing and speaking. Do you now have a little dip before the tournament start?
I will go out for my usual Wednesday night tinctures. Wednesday night is always the calm before the storm. I will go out on Wednesday night and try and get away from it, and then on Thursday, boom.
Is it the same group of you that go out on a Wednesday? Is it like sort of tradition?
As you get older, Jay, you'll find that your friends, I know you've got a large peer group of friends, but they slowly but surely fall by the wayside. You start off when you're in your 20s and your 30s with a large group of friends, and then some of them die, some of them fall on hard times and have no funds to join you on these things, and then others get married, and their life becomes a little bit more disciplined and rigid. So yeah, slowly but surely the group of Wednesday night company has dwindled. I've still got a little hardcore of people. Yeah, don't worry, I don't go out and sit on my own on Wednesday.
No, I wasn't inferring that. It's more the fact, I mean, we're both in quite unique lines of work. So Wednesday is probably quite an unpopular night to go out and drink, just because,
yes,
you can't rock up to sort of your insurance sales job hungover, can you?
You're absolutely right. Hmm. The man that I usually go out with on a Wednesdays is very, very, he's become very senior in the submarine business. And And it's obviously a massive, massive time for them with all sorts of wars. Or theatres, as he likes to call them, going off around the world. So, he doesn't like going in with hangover on a Thursday, but sometimes I cajole him into it. But, the submarine industry is absolutely booming. I think I'm going to try and lure him out on Wednesday. Hopefully it won't have any fallback on Ministry of Defence issues. You wouldn't believe how important submarines are at the moment, Jack. It's a crucial.
When we get the each way quad up this week, then you can invest in submarines and that's your passive income.
Yeah, I may buy one. But Wednesday night I'll chill out, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday I shall watch our each way quadruple come in. We should advise an each way quadruple. We should advise punters, keep an eye on maximum payouts. Because you don't want to waste
state. You're that confident, are you? Yeah.
You don't want to waste state money because maximum payouts can be quite puny in relative terms with certain firms. If you're going to have an each way quadruple, you don't need to have it all in one bookmaker. Sprinkle it around lots of bookmakers, and then you won't get in trouble with maximum payouts.
Okay, very good advice, Steve. We shall recap the selections for this week. felt like an age ago we previewed this one, but it was the Johnson Workwear. Who are we picking here?
Ewan Ferguson, Adrian Sadier.
Puerto Rico Open.
Chris Goddard. Get her up.
Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Ludwig Aubert. Tommy Fleetwood.
And four in Live Golf Hong Kong.
Sergio Garcia, Cameron Smith, Anaban Lahiri, Graham McDowell. And the each way quadruple I would recommend is Ewan Ferguson, Chris Gotterup, Ludwig Aubert, and Sergio Garcia. It's about 200,000 to one generally in the bookmaking village. So a 200,000 to one chance that I make about 13 to 8.
Steve, on that note, we shall put an end to this week's squeeze spot. Thank you so much. We've got the players to preview next week, haven't we?
Yes, one tournament next week. So we go from quadruple header to all our eggs in one basket.
We may be here, we may not, depending on this week's results. Thank you, Steve. As always, if you are backing any of Steve's selections, please remember to do so responsibly, and see you again next Tuesday for another episode of The Sweet Spot.